No, I mean, the contract was what it was. I mean, you can overpay. What I mean, everybody can criticize contracts all you want, but he's here. I'm excited he's here. I think our players are excited he's here. I know our coaches are. I mean, you get a chance to coach a great player, a guy that's done things that nobody's ever done in the league. Like, we're excited for that opportunity. I'm excited to get him in the offense so I can start figuring out what else can we do with him. What hasn't he done? What could he be great at in this system?
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Well, I know the money mattered, but also it was an issue of respect for Le'Veon Bell on the banks of the Three Rivers. It sounds like he has found it in his new head coach, Adam Gase. Hi and hello and welcome to the DDFP.
Has he?
I don't know if he has. It seemed like that line of questioning.
Sure, Adam Gase respects running backs, generally.
Yes. It didn't seem like he thought he was worth that financial investment. It's not up to me. That's not my job. Okay, well, do you think he was worth it? It doesn't matter what I think. All right. I feel like we're going in circles here, Adam. What are we doing?
So he's a good running back? He's a good running back. Overpaid?
And he's fine by me.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter to me. Hey, here's all I got to say. Jet emoji, pounding fist emoji. Let's go. All right, well, that settles it. I guess that's closed. Let's close the line of conversation.
Hi and hello and welcome to the DDFP. I hope all's well wherever you are. As you can hear, we have among our very favorites to join us in Studio 66, seated to my immediate left and way over to the far left there. Behind the glasses, Eddie Spaghetti. Let's start off by saying hello to our main man. Once again, a Miami Dolphins fan. He has announced it.
You're back?
All the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun year.
The Josh Rosen. Right?
That's what did it. Got me over the hump.
Exactly. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's our old pal, Handsome Hank.
We don't have time for this.
Well, we don't, because I heard Daniel Craig. There's some 007 related news.
Really? Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome
Hank. Do we know who the new 007 is going to be?
No.
Daniel Craig's making one
Craig
right
is
now.
Making
Craig's
the last one.
He was originally going to be out, right? But then he's like, nah, come back.
I'll do it.
What, I'm sorry, what was that? $150 million?
Yeah.
What are we calling it? Let's see what we got.
Golden something, 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 something. Like, they're all about the same name. Golden only lives once.
It is. I wonder.
That's exactly what it is.
I do wonder. He is definitely one of those pretentious actor types who's like, I will not be.
I don't want to be typecast.
007.
Right.
And then in the last decade, he's made like 1.5 movies that weren't 007.
I am 007.
All right.
It's a pretty good thing to be.
And the other one was, I think, Layer Cake, which is essentially him as 007, but as a bad 007.
That's exactly right. That's how Roger Moore became 007, right. Was because he was the saint on the old TV show. See, I know my stuff.
Me too, Dave.
How are you,
handsome?
I
tell you,
he's
going to be Idris Elba. If Idris Elba isn't 007, then I will be upset.
As long as it...
Quickly, can either of you hum the theme to The Saint?
No?
I
love this.
One of my all-time favorite
theme. Yeah.
Can you?
I can't, but I tell you what, the Val Kilmer movie is one of my... is a shockingly underrated...
It's great.
...movie from...
Is that
from
true?
The
yes.
...mid-90s.
Ready?
Elizabeth Shue, obviously my favorite actress...
Lizzie Shue.
...of all time.
It's a great movie.
It's a great... I'm not kidding.
Can you do the
and
thing?
It's set in Oxford, my hometown.
Ah, about that.
Much of it is set in Oxford. I can't, but I when you do it...
It's such an awesome theme song.
It sounds like
the only reason I know it is because we did the soundtrack. I didn't do it. That was it. Then it goes up into a high orbital. Did the soundtrack?
That's what I was,
and so
that's
I worked
what
that
I was
soundtrack.
Thinking.
I used to work with Orbital. Yeah.
Did you? There you go. Yes. I'm a big fan of that soundtrack.
There was a big criminal element in Oxford back in the 70s that Roger Moore needed to clean up.
No, Roger Moore wasn't part of it. The Val Kilmer movie.
Oh, the Kilmer picture.
The Kilmer picture takes place in Oxford because Shue is a scientist who's an Oxford professor.
Mm-hmm.
And also
it's a terrific, terrific film.
A fox,
he
right?
is he, also yes. a fox.
Yeah.
She was on
Leaving Las Vegas.
Lizzie Shue was on the gymnastics
Adventures
circuit
in Babysitting.
When my kid was in gymnastics.
Really?
Yes. So I would see Elizabeth Shue at 7 a.m., with no makeup, glasses, cup of coffee, reading the paper.
I bet she's stunning. Still was
is that true?
Stunning.
Really?
Yes.
I say that all the time. You never know in when you live in Los Angeles and you see the celebrities out and about. The thing that I always am curious when it's an A-list female actor, when you see them out and about, there's a big range. Sometimes you're struck by, wow, much more beautiful in person than the way she shows up on film. Other people go the wrong way with that sort of thing. The men, the A-list. That's
one way to put it.
The A-list fellas, though, yep. 100%
hunk.
I mean, dish, you know? Yeah. They are all...
Also, to a man, much smaller than you imagine.
No, untrue. That's a myth.
I'd say for the most part. There are exceptions.
Yeah. Vince Vaughn is very tall.
Very tall. But again, you're going to name like 10 people, and then we've
I'm
got
not going
like,
to go through a list. But
Craig,
yeah.
When you go back to Daniel Craig, he may be 5'3". I'm not kidding.
He's not a tall man. He's a little bit taller than 5'3".
Not a tall man.
A little bit taller than 5'3".
I always get confused. But to
make your point, he's probably about 5'8", which on the screen, he looks like he's about 6'3".
Yeah.
John Hamm's is a man's man. You know, that's a rugged figure. He's kind of your size, Handsome Hank.
Yeah.
I put him about, your same measure.
270.
Yeah. Both ruggedly handsome. Yeah, you are getting thick. We got to figure out another thick cast. You and Eddie Spaghetti. Spaghetti, by the way, was bemoaning his recent weight gain. And I'm not going to give him.
How Eddie doesn't put two and two together when he'll come in and regale you with stories about how much he's eaten over the course of the week. And it's like, separately, 15 minutes later, we're like, I just can't understand. I just can't stop putting on weight.
But you know what? That's what makes, as they always say, with good drama or good storytelling, there has to be some conflict
in
there.
Sure, there's two sides to it.
His internal conflict
right.
as one half of the thick cast, which periodically plays at the back end here of the DDFP, he is his internal conflict, his battle with wanting to be fit and look in the mirror and be pleased with himself and feel like a worthy mate for his lovely girlfriend and so on,
which
offset by
like
the fact that he loves to just drink jugs of gravy, you know, and stuff like that.
I did see something that I really enjoyed just now when you described his weight gain, and we all do this, and I'm interested to hear what each of you do, because as you started describing the weight he was putting on, Eddie was like this, and he then extended his neck. He started to feel, and it leads me to believe that Eddie puts weight on in his face when he gains weight, and he just
started
feeling. And I know when Sheck always bemoans his weight gain, he'll push his gut out. He'll go, God, just look at this. This is just disgusting. And I know for me, for whatever reason, I always kind of grab my rib fat, and I'm like, Why is there more meat here?
Right,
than there? Because this is muscle. This is supposed to. But right here, I can kind of grab something and pull on it. I think we all subconsciously have that spot we go when people are talking about our weight, and Eddie's is clearly his face because
we all remember 6 years ago. I think it was the summer 6 years ago when Matt Money Smith gained 3 pounds and went up to got up to 128. We were all whispering behind his back.
Yeah. Yes.
Have you seen Money?
I am really a little on the heavy side right now, by the way. I am
really?
about 6 to 8 pounds heavy right now.
Wow.
I'm not going to enable it. We've been talking about it. Now, that's a joke. But what's not a joke is Eddie Spaghetti, we've decided to pretend that we're going to do a podcast today all in the name of an intervention. You are slowly but surely eating yourself to death.
Out of the league.
The real problem is it's like the downfall of being too popular is when I have a lot of people visit. And then you have to go out.
That's what it is.
And you bring people out. Like, what do you do here? We eat In-N-Out and then Taco Tuesday. And then you have to go out and all the booze. And then it adds up. But I threw out a lot of stuff in my apartment. And we're going to go heavy greens from now on for the foreseeable future.
I think we would call that...
How far into the future can you see, Eddie?
Probably
Saturday?
Saturday night when my girlfriend's parents come, we're going to go out to dinner.
So basically 24 hours.
Yeah, 24 hours,
24 hours of greens.
I love a guy who gives himself the carrot and the whip.
Yeah.
You know? I can't be trusted.
If I can just get through this evening, then I'll reward myself.
You understand it's you. You understand the issue.
You make your own decision.
You were on the banquet circuit.
That's what you were on. You were on the banquet circuit.
My house is full of food. My girlfriend works in. She works for a food show. She comes with bags of food, and then it's like we have people visiting. It's just tough. I gotta wake up early to get here.
Gotta
wake up early to get.
It rushes me out of the gym. Like I don't get my. It's a mess.
You know, when we go drinking when the guys are out and it's midnight and I say, hey, you guys want to try something special? You got to get this Tommy's burger in you. Right. Okay, we're gonna go to Tommy's and we're gonna get a nice chili burger and some chili
fries.
He
told Dave and I a story the other day that because they passed Chick-fil-A and it was open, they had to go in.
That's true.
At midnight. It was still open. So we had to go in.
Eddie Spaghetti behind the wheel had no say in the car pulling over. Yeah.
Boys, you are in luck. This joint is closed on Sundays. But it is open at 1 a.m. and we must try it.
We got to go in.
Eddie, we got Chick-fil-A our neighborhood. We're good, actually. This is not an L.A. thing. I don't know if you know, but this is in Atlanta. South thing. Oh, really? But at midnight? Come on, guys. Let's get in there and get an original chicken. We got to do it.
Spaghetti, are you sort of like, are you one of these people who, like Lawrence Taylor, is like, well, Lawrence Taylor is Lawrence Taylor, you know, 6 days a week, but on Sundays he turns into LT. He's like are you like L Eat or something like that? Like, do you have an alternate ID that you have to contend with?
No, you'd really be shocked about what my apartment, like what I buy. It's just like egg whites and chicken, and it's boring. I don't know how it happens. That's why you go out to eat
5 times a day.
I don't.
If you put nice things in your fridge, you wouldn't be eating out 5 times a day.
I meal prep. I don't buy food out. It's only when people come and visit, or when I go home, or like this has been a lot. I've had a lot of events lately. That's the problem. My social
calendar is jam packed.
Event.
I need to hire like an assistant to just deny plans for me, so I'm just sitting at home.
It's a good idea.
Sure.
Spaghetti.
Be a good use of an assistant that you put on your payroll.
Because money is basically incapable of gaining any substantial.
That's not true.
He's just the gods smiled on him and decided.
That is not true.
Aside from they didn't finish up the legs, but still, overall, he got.
No, I have been fat. I have been giant.
No, really? You haven't.
You know what?
No,
I'll do it.
Haven't.
I've got. I believe our photos are in the cloud, so I can dig deep. Yeah,
over 145.
Oh God! There was one moment in my life where I weighed, I believe, 185 pounds.
Jeez.
And right now I'm like 160.
What I wouldn't give to be 185 right now.
What I would like to see it because
I'm small. I got no muscle on my legs.
Still skinny, but just had a big stomach.
Big stomach and like a giant pregnant. Fat face on these tiny little stilts.
I have a feeling that's where I'm headed. I feel like that's my destiny. I always used to say, it's funny because Money was saying that I usually hit my gut, but the fact of the matter is my particular curse is Roethlisberger syndrome or Ted Kennedy syndrome or Travolta syndrome, or at least I'm naming the other people, that the first 15 that I gain goes
straight
right
onto
to the head.
Noggin.
Yes.
That's right.
Onto
I get
face.
A big balloon head.
Yeah.
And then everything else then starts.
But can it go bigger than now?
My head?
Yes.
Oh, my head definitely.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Even
this
more
thing,
than now.
This thing could definitely inflate a good 10, 15 pounds.
That brings up a good... I have a question. I just ran into this last night. I was at my daughter's... My daughter's graduating on Saturday, so I was at her senior awards last night, and I sat
Congratulations,
down...
Congratulations.
Thank
buddy.
You. I sat down behind a man who I leaned over to my wife, and I said, of all the places to sit, I pick out the guy that's got a bowling ball for a head. Right. And she said, that is so rude. I said, that's not rude. You're born with the size. I got a pea head. Mm-hmm. This guy's got a bowling ball for it. Is it an insult to describe the size of somebody's head if it's
no.
too small or too big? I say no. She said yes.
Everybody. It's factual.
Right. You have a large, if you were to get a hat, it's an 8-inch hat. It's a giant bowling ball of a head. It's not that big of a deal.
You could say, yeah, big brain.
Exactly. I've got a tiny head, little brain. I mean,
you
it's
know
just-
that.
One of my favorite, that reminds me because I'm vain, I have to tell this story. I went to Dodger Stadium to see a game with a big gaggle of people. And Jimmy Kimmel was being generous and he took us all to a Dodgers game.
Right.
The entire staff, imagine, 2 busloads of people
Jeez.
Going out to the stadium. And for some reason, and I don't remember the backstory why, but former heavyweight champ Leon Spinks was on the bus with us.
Because Jimmy, because that's perfect Jimmy Kimmel.
And Sal was there, and of course it makes sense that if
it was Huey Lewis, Leon Spinks, Perry.
their great aunt.
Yes.
Right. So anyway, I somehow wound up directly behind Leon Spinks. And it was one of the great thrills in my life when he stood up, because he was a giant man and had the has the biggest head I've ever seen on a human being before. He stood up before me, and I was thrilled to be able to bleat, "Down in front the champ." It sent me over the moon to be able to tell him.
And he turned around and socked me in the nose.
He was kind of like, I don't know if this is rude, but he kind of has like a Frankenstein vibe to him. Like, right. You know, like, the way he turned
like
around.
Like his bones have all fused together.
Right. Yeah, that kind of vibe to it. But anyway, Spaghetti, the gathering storm for you, you ain't even gotten to the worst of it yet. I'm sure Handsome Hank knows what I'm talking about, which is when you start having the toddlers around and they don't eat their pizza crusts, you'll eat them.
You'll eat them.
You don't have, clearly, you have no willpower.
Right.
I do, though, because for years, I was really good.
Elite is not going to have...
5 years, my girlfriend was like, "This is, you're the most boring person," because I was so regimented, so strict. And then lately, I'm just kind of like,
you've let yourself off the chain.
It's 75 and funny, right. Sunny outside. I can go to bars and drink and eat outside. It's just a lot more fun. So
right.
I like the idea of Eddie Spaghetti's.
Wow.
I told you.
Yeah, okay.
I told you.
That almost looks photoshopped.
It's been there in the past.
Oh, my.
I told you.
It all went to his neck.
Yeah, like, it all goes straight like to my face and my neck.
That's funny because your head is so small.
Yes.
That your neck then just broadens to the same width as your head.
Right, yeah, out of context.
Pretty good, right?
Looks like an NFL
fullback. Can we post that as part of the promotion for this show? Otherwise, people are never going to know what you're talking about.
Sure, no problem. Right. That was back in the days when
Send
I was still cheering for the Cubbies.
Yeah.
Back then, when I had not cemented myself as a Los Angeles resident.
By the way, all this, movie talk a few minutes ago, we did do our summer movie preview, our annual one with the great Bald Brian from the Adam Carolla Show. Go back and listen to that. It's good stuff. We talk a little bit of football at the top, but then we dig in on movies, not just 2019, but we rank Tarantino pictures, animated movies, and we do our beloved actor redundancies. A lot of good ones.
So I will go back and listen, but what's the one summer movie I need to watch this year?
I think it's got to be, and I would have said this in advance of Endgame, and I give
what do you mean by summer movie?
Thumbs up.
Like, what qualifies as a summer movie?
Literally released in
a blockbuster.
I
guess so.
Or a movie with a summer vibe.
I'm talking about literal
something
movies.
That's going to be released in June, July. That's
and it's going to make $1 billion.
I don't know if this suits blockbuster status, although his lineage of pictures probably will require that millions of people go to see it. Is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's the one.
Right? Don't you feel like you got to check that one out?
Oh, I definitely do.
It was reviewed yesterday because all that nonsense happened with Quentin Tarantino on himself.
Yeah, he like lost his mind, right, at a presser.
People said he did, but if you watch it, he didn't really lose his mind.
He didn't really. He just said, "I don't agree with your question."
Right, exactly. But the reviews came out, and everyone said it's like his best movie, probably since Pulp Fiction, if not his best overall.
Huh.
Yeah. So
I feel like that's the review you hear every movie.
No,
he implored everyone, "Don't give away the end," which I think is a cool thing.
Some percentage of people.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Some percentage declares the every Tarantino release. This is his best picture. That's one of those things that happens.
Oh, I don't know.
But yeah, certainly I'm going to check that one out. I'm excited to.
Most definitely. I didn't. You mean currently. A current summer film you need to go see. I was thinking you were talking about.
Yeah, not all time.
I got you.
I've seen some of them.
Yeah.
Is there one? I haven't seen, I don't want to see.
We do have football to dig in on, but very quickly. Dealer's choice, or we can groupthink this where we go here over the next half hour or so. Do you want to do some sort of summer?
I'd like to think about it if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I'd like to dig into my mental annals.
Right.
I appreciate it. Okay, we can revisit that. You know what? After Memorial Day, we'll be fully into summer.
Fine.
And we'll dig in on that.
That's a good idea, perfect. Dave.
Meantime, Mazel Tov money on your girlie's graduation.
Thank you.
And Handsome Hank, your boy Ronnie, advancing in the All-American sport of baseball.
Yes.
He's the star of the team.
The star of the team.
No?
I would say that for sure. He's the one of the younger players on the team, and not the star of the team, but I don't really understand either. Every time I watch a baseball game, I discover a new rule about baseball. I even discovered something called a pickle last weekend.
Oh, did he get caught in a pickle?
No, someone playing against them was in a pickle, and his team executed. No, they blew it.
Oh.
And they got 4 runs off a pickle.
Whoa, that's a heck
off
of a pickle.
Two separate pickles. 2 pickles.
Well, they recognize after the first pickle, these guys have never practiced
right.
the rundown.
Yeah, anyway.
What'd you think of the pickle?
I So then I was talking, I was like, what is happening here? And someone said it's called a pickle. I explained it. I was like, oh, that must be the origin of the phrase in a pickle. So I've then told people about this who also didn't know about pickles, and they were excited that this is what the origin came from. And then I saw the same guy last night at another game that took place. He said, actually, pickle is the origin is not baseball. Shakespeare mentions
being
pickle,
in a pickle.
Being
really?
In a pickle.
I was like, okay.
Do your people like pickles?
Maybe Shakespeare got it from baseball as well.
I'm gonna take a guess here.
Yes.
People in the UK don't eat a lot of pickles.
No, you know what? People in the UK do like pickles. Huh. I loved pickles, but they're called gherkins.
Well, that's a specific type of pickle.
Well,
a gherkin
I don't know
is a
that.
Type of pickle.
I use it as a generic
what are those,
term
those
for
little
a pickle.
Ones?
And so yeah. I once went those into an American sandwich shop and said, can I have some gherkins with that? And this guy was like, he asked for gherkins! Hey, everyone! Have him say it again! Is that like my first introduction to someone like you. This guy, what? Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Gherkins? He's like, what is a gherkin? So I had to point out that that's a pickle. He means pickle.
All right.
Now, what do you envision when someone says pickle? What comes into your brain? What type of pickle do you have? Do you have a strong opinion on pickles? Because you have a strong opinion right. on every other type of food.
I love a nice sour one, you know, like what you
get
like in
a deli. Sour one.
Oh, yeah, what do you get
in
a Northeast
deli? Do you
like
cut lengthways?
Do you want a spear? Do you want a slice?
I don't like
do you want a full pickle?
If I'm doing the picking, I'll thank you very much. I'll carve it up how I see fit. I don't need you to.
Tell me how you see fit.
I will slice it in half, and that's all. Because if you go too much,
a half pickle.
Yeah.
Yes.
The long form.
So you just slice it directly in half, long ways.
Long ways.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
see, I like a slice.
You like
down
okay?
Like
you
a
could
cucumber,
do like chips.
Like
you
a
like the you like
slice.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those are good on a burger. And by the way, can I tell you something that is what, I mean, it is the forgotten star, too often ignored. If you're going to do a good burger, a good cheeseburger, make sure you don't forget the pickle. People always
and then,
do. Makes it sing.
Dave, I'll tell you something. I'm proud to tell you this. Mm. I'll eat another man's pickles. If someone else leaves their pickles on the side, I'm going to eat them.
I'm with you.
I'll take them straight off your plate. If it doesn't look like you're going to eat the pickles, I'll eat them.
You know, we park our cars in the same garage there. My old man taught me many moons ago. Listen, if there's half a pizza left behind by another table, what did they do?
Right.
Lick
just
it
exactly.
before they left?
No,
they didn't
let's
do
go.
It.
Exactly.
It's untouched.
It.
They didn't do anything to that pizza.
I think
just
I'm
sitting there.
I think I'm. I think I'm pointing out the obvious. But just in case I'm not, for all that listen, because again, you do preach food responsibility and respect. You have to get the refrigerated pickles. Do not get your pickles on the shelf in the condiment aisle that are
who
not refrigerated, because they're there. So clearly, people do. I mean, clearly, people are like, oh, I'll buy these and I'm going to put these on the hamburgers. It's no. You need the kosher dills that are refrigerated, that are crisp, that taste right.
Yep.
Like you can't. Okay.
Agreed. And I also like a sweeter pickle.
Oh no!
Oh, the bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
No good.
Really?
Gross. Even gross.
I don't dislike sour ones, but recently I didn't even know these sweet ones existed. I can just eat it. I can just eat those as a, you know.
Well, now we're veering into all American food fair as we go towards summertime here, Memorial Day and July 4th. There will be picnics all over the place. Don't spoil them with relish. You know, relish is gross. Too
sweet. It's a little sweet.
You don't need that.
No,
it's a little sweet. Yeah. But I'll take the bread and butter pickle over the hamburger dill. You
why?
Know,
they,
well, there's something about that hamburger, whatever the spice is that they put in, that it's not just the straight dill pickle. It's called like the hamburger dill. It's kind of got that gross, like McDonald's pickles are the worst pickles. They're the worst pickles on any burger anywhere. And I think that's what they model it after, is that particular spice to pickle that cucumber there.
All right, we part ways.
Yeah.
Just to round this out,
I've been growing a lot of vegetables at home, and I have a lot of cucumbers planted. I plan on doing my own pickling.
Oh, I'd like to try
summer.
That.
Plan on pickling.
And I would definitely bring both of you pickles for you to try.
Thank you.
I would also recommend,
I look forward to it.
If you're growing onions, pickle those onions too. Get yourself a nice
pickled onion.
Delicious.
Did you know that in pubs in the UK, typically, more in the north of the UK, although I know I'm now going to get 1,000 tweets from people saying either this doesn't happen or it's not just the north. You can, in a bar, on a shelf above the bar, you've chosen your beer, maybe you've chosen some peanuts. There will be a big, big jar, large jar of pickled onions.
Ooh.
for you just to take a pickle, you know.
South side of Chicago, you can buy a pickled onion or a pickled egg.
Right.
South side of Pittsburgh, PA, legendary stretch. Carson has Jack's is one of the better bars, and it's open 365. You can go.
Went there when we were in Pittsburgh.
Is that true?
Yes, I did. They have wonderful people there.
Yeah, they have right behind the bar there. You can always get yourself some hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, no, pickled eggs.
Right? Yeah, the pickled eggs. And that
are, purple pickled or are they pickled or are they just hard-boiled?
I'm pretty sure they're pickled.
Here in L.A., you got Philippe's, which has the pickled eggs right there, the purple eggs on the pickled eggs. Delicious. Yeah.
All right, Chicago,
you mentioned. Bacon. Here's just bacon. Go ahead and sit down and get your beer and have some bacon.
Have some bacon, because that's what you need.
Yeah. See, when things like that happen in certain towns, certain regions where you have to keep up with the Joneses to keep the doors open, every bar in Chicago has a pool table. I think literally... On one hand, you could find the bars on the north side that do not have a pool table inside them in Chicago. It's great. That's a great thing. Now, other places, see, and then the
not all have dartboards, but they all have pool tables.
The same people who would denounce me for eating a piece of pizza off somebody else's table are the same people who have no compunction about sticking their mitt into the peanut bowl at sitting at the bar there. You know. Mm-hmm.
Pretzels, peanuts, popcorn. Yeah, same difference.
All right, let's dig in on some pro football, shall we? And sure. What do you want to talk about first? Anybody who says first is what we're going to talk about.
I think
about.
You start with those first two that Eddie has put together, and that's a heck of a jumping off point.
Okay, it says here, Juju, I assume you mean Juju Smith-Schuster, says the Steelers' locker room is on point. Are they better off without Bell and Brown after all that? Now,
chemistry over talent, I guess, is what we're kicking around here.
One of the guys who makes appearances here on the DDFP, our pal Mark Cabali, beat writer there in Pittsburgh, was called Fat Guy by Bud Dupree. Hey, Fat Guy, don't make trouble by digging into the past.
I love it. I love Fat Guy, and I love when Draymond called Brian Windhorst No Neck. Listen here, No Neck. You keep your nose out of my business.
I'm not positive. I don't know if it was Fat Guy or Fat Boy. But either way, it wasn't flattering. And it also falls behind what was his name? Jim McClellan? Was that his name? When he said the old New Jersey, Jim Schoenfeld. The ginger-headed former defenseman who became the head coach of the New Jersey Devils in the playoffs chased Don Koharski, a Husky referee, into the bowels of the arena and yelled at him, "Go have another donut, you fat pig."
It's so good.
It's a great moment.
We are your fat shaming podcast of record. The DDFP, everybody.
Don't worry. We're fat shaming ourselves, too.
Exactly. So yes, like, there is
ironically,
that.
Ironically. We should all be fat shamed.
All right, so what do you
even
say?
Even Money after that photo.
I sent it to Eddie so he can put it up.
Oh, good, good. Matt Money Smith, tell us, what do you
maybe,
think?
By the way, edit out the fat wife. I don't want all the listeners commenting on the appearance of my wife in that photo, please.
No, yes, we will carve her out.
Yes.
Money, so what do you think? It's illogical, obviously, in terms of talent.
It's crazy.
That Bell and Brown, that the team would be better off without him. Do you, though, buy all the stuff that we're hearing right now? About the Steelers. Hey, everyone's coming together. We care about each other.
I don't buy it for
really?
Us. No.
Okay, so then how bad do you think they could be then?
I just don't think they're better. I think the idea that somehow this is better for them is crazy.
Right.
I think there's just zero chance that without the best receiver and the best all-around running back, you're a better team. I'm all for chemistry.
Trying to sell it at this time of year.
Yes, but
that's
no.
Happens,
I mean, come
no.
on. I mean,
4 months ago, we were all, I don't know if we were swooning for it or buying it, but it definitely worked for the Patriots to be the latest to play the, like, oh, we suck, and everybody thinks we're going to lose everything.
Yeah, the Patriots
that's kind
have.
Of a good thing, right? Isn't that what works?
That's worked
that's
for the Patriots for
saying.
20 years.
That's I mean, not that's, what they're saying.
That's been their identity, right? I mean, that's the Patriots' identity is we don't need stars. We make do your job. We've got 90 different game plans for 3 different games, and we'll pick the one out that's going to win. That's their identity. The Steelers' identity is, we've got the best receiver and running back in the league, and we're going to beat you with talent.
Right. Well, and now they're saying, we don't have those guys, but we're still going to beat you with talent.
I do think, though, that the Super Bowl champs, people go a little bit too far in that it was a defense that won those Super Bowls, in Roethlisberger's career. But I do think that they do have the pieces in good health that could actually you know, be a top six defense in the NFL. I could absolutely see
I'm
that.
I'm not
being...
disagreeing with any of that. It says right here, are they better off without Brown and Bell?
Well, that's the question. Better off. Are they a better roster? Are they better off ultimately, no. though, without a cuckoo bird who's off in Oakland and a guy who's more about money than anything else up in New York?
Like those, both of those guys had like bad endings to their career in Pittsburgh, but there was no point prior to contracts being an issue where, you know, Antonio Brown had a couple of, for receiver, relatively minor issues with the team. There was, well, he was doing Facebook Live from the locker room after they lost, or I don't know, just after a game anyway.
They had won.
I think they won that game,
whatever. Yeah. But you know, that was as bad as it had been before that.
Sure.
Le'Veon Bell obviously had some issues off the field, but you know, he was pretty much a good soldier. And then yeah, the both endings were pretty bad. But I don't think that anyone at up until that point had been like, wow, you guys are having to balance out these two talented guys with what crazy people they are.
I think that all the talk, it sounds good. I always sort of am cynical about that and make fun of the guys, the teams that that try and sell that nonsense. No one thinks we can win this game. You're the New England Patriots. Stop with that nonsense.
You win them all.
Sure.
Yeah. No one. There's nobody who thinks that you guys are out of anything. But okay. So now they're buying that. Let's see. Even if they make it through August completely clean in terms of health and they're excited and all that, they go up to Foxborough and get it handed to them, which is likely going to happen. That's the way those matchups tend to go, is Pittsburgh going up
never
to Foxborough.
A better time,
go
but
well.
There's never a better time to get them than,
okay,
than
but if,
in week
that's
one.
That's true.
In
but one. If they do lose by a couple of touchdowns or whatever up there and they get humiliated on a national stage, that will be the test for this. Like, our chemistry is awesome.
And by the way, just because they're not on the team anymore, it doesn't mean that Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown aren't going to tee off on you on right. the Twitter machine. Yeah. You know, that's still going to happen, and that's still going to create some chemistry issues on the team, and questions will be asked that they're going to go after. Oh, I guess it was all us, you know? But clearly we were the problem. You just lost to the Patriots by three touchdowns. Oh, Ben Roethlisberger threw three picks. Whose fault were those, Ben? Yeah, I mean, those are all going to keep coming.
Antonio Brown has sworn off social media, though.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
definitely not going to be.
Sure. That's going to happen.
He's not doing that anymore.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Two-Face. Yeah. Yeah. But that notwithstanding, yes, yeah, he's not on it. He's not going to do it anymore.
Apart from when he has to.
The vexing thing is, somebody who obviously roots for the Steelers is that both of those guys, I feel like deep down, people delude themselves in the choices that they make and they go with the path. And there's a lot of from both those guys. I couldn't be happier. The happiest time of my life right now. You're saying it a little bit too much, fellas.
Right.
You're trying to ride that a little bit too much. I think deep down, if you could really test the deepest parts of their souls, they would say, yeah, I just wish it would have just worked out the other way.
Yeah.
I just wish.
Do you think for either of those guys, based on, you know, obviously right now it doesn't seem realistic, but Antonio Brown's probably not going to last that long in Oakland, knowing how things might work out with John Gruden and whatever else. And then it doesn't sound like things are going that well with Lev Bell in New York already. His coach doesn't seem that enamored with the idea of Le'Veon Bell on the team. Do either of those guys retire as Steelers?
I don't know about that, but when the rumors last week came out that about Adam Gase, which seemed more or less true, in fact, he conceded it without
pretty
saying
did,
that,
yeah.
that he wasn't happy that they spent that amount of loot on 26 and they might trade him if there's I really did think about, okay, they would never go back and get Antonio Brown at this point. Would they actually try to pull a trade when the Jets are going to be paying more than half of that contract?
Right.
Would they actually go and get him? I don't think they would do it in 2019, but you know, if things go badly in Pittsburgh, I don't think actually, you know what?
Yeah,
it's not going to happen practically speaking, unless James Conner and Benny Snell both vanish from pro football, unless something dire like that happens. I don't think Le'Veon Bell's going to play it, but it is kind of funny.
If we can't speak to both of those things, by the way, like, and look, I get it. I know that it's voluntary and that it's OTAs and there's no contact and it's a bunch of guys running around. How do Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown not show up? The teams just gave you $60 million. They just put your head on billboards all over the city. How do you not show up and just put on the shorts and the helmets and run around with the new teammates? It's like, again, I'll just go back to, I was thinking about it last night. You know, these scholarships were being handed out to these kids on senior night. No, you've been awarded this scholarship, and here's this philanthropic foundation that's giving you $5,000. And these kids, because they're kids, they're 17 or 18 years old, they're just, you know, they get their thing and they walk up and they're like, yeah, great. All right, here I go. And it's like, God, it's his family and their name's on it. And it's, you know, a very sad story as to why this scholarship exists. And these kids just take it and they just kind of walk off the stage. And it's like, no, you have to do the step and repeat with the family and take the, oh, God, here we go. Jeez, can I just take my $5,000 and get out of here? That's what it's like. It's like, hey, we saved you. You were persona non grata. And not only did we bring you to our place, but we gave you $60 million.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe just show up for the 3 days. It's three days. Maybe just show up and run around.
Levy and Bell, you know, I was texting with Maurice about this a little bit, who obviously we've detailed in great depth here, is, you know, shares an agent and everything else. And he remains happy. He's like, Levy and Bell got paid. That's what he wanted to do, was get paid. Obviously, he could have made more money if he would have just stayed in Pittsburgh, but fine. So that's done. He didn't.
He's got tens of millions of dollars.
Right. Right.
It
didn't
work.
Yeah. He didn't wind up having to take a 1 year deal below market or anything like that. He's made a lot more money than a human being properly needs. And it's several generations of the Bell family are now set up. But I said, I feel bad for him now. He's got to be regretting already that his head coach doesn't want him there when he had in Pittsburgh a chip on his shoulder about usage and you guys are being nihilistic with my career by running me into the ground in January playoff games and without compensating me for doing it. He's got to kind of feel like,
sure.
What now with the Jets? If the Jets aren't, that's what it comes down to. If the Raiders and or Jets aren't good, how satisfied is either guy going to be? And I know it's a business and they want to get paid and both guys really want. And I'm not disparaging either guy for wanting money or making that the number one priority. You're a cuckoo bird on some level if you're 27 years of age in a profession that has you running into other human beings on purpose, that you, obviously you have to get as much as you can possibly get when the situation presents itself. But I really do. Is Levy and Bell going to be all right with 300 touches on a 7-9 team if that's the way it goes?
That's what he should expect to get, because Adam Gase is not, you know, in Miami, having watched him for those 3 years there, his use of those running backs, he'll tell you that that's part of the game plan, and then very quickly he'll go away from that. And that may come down to the positions that the Dolphins put themselves in occasionally, but I don't think the Jets are going to be any different probably this year.
I mean,
if
you're a skeptic as Levy and Bell, like, I think that my previous team was running me into the ground.
Right.
I don't think they cared about my long-term health as a football player or otherwise. Now you go to this guy who's like, yeah, I think we overpaid to get this guy. I think he's a good talent.
And the reason I think we overpaid is because I don't really want to use this type of running back in my offense. I didn't have a choice in who we signed.
He's not going to have a chip on his shoulder. We're like, hey, coach, 30 touches again? Like, he's not going to push back at that. He's pushed back at the Steelers, but he's not going to push back at Adam Gase.
My prediction, to your point, is that he got paid. That's what he wanted. That was priority number one. Priority number two, which will come about 12 months from now, is I'd quite like to be on a team that appreciates me and uses me in the way that I want to be used. And I don't think that'll be
I think the best that you're going to get if you're the Jets out of Levy and Bell is 2019. I think after that, it's going to get worse. And
you don't think it gets better, because Darnold gets better. Maybe the team gets better. The talent
getting older.
I mean,
there aren't a ton of examples of guys as you get into your late 20s as a running back that you get better.
Right.
I mean,
all right, so who's happier in 2021?
It's a great question.
Browner, because did you see what John Gruden
said?
No,
here's the question.
Like, John Gruden's crazy, number one. But to have him, let me tell you, Santonio here, no. But I've gotten to know that young man. He's a good guy. I think he's going to fit right in. You know, but relationships, you got to get him going. Is he here? No. Would I like him here? Sure. You know what? Frankly, I'm tired of this. It's like, wait a minute.
So which bit?
You're already tired of it? You haven't even started.
Coach, like, it ain't Memorial Day,
yes,
pal.
You have already. That is a direct quote. I'm already tired of this.
Oh, please. I didn't hear that quote.
Yes, I am already tired. And I don't know if he's tired of Antonio Brown or if he's just tired of being asked about why.
Doesn't make a difference.
It's all
Those
Antonio
lines
Brown
get blurred.
Yes.
Right.
So I said, Antonio, just show up. I mean, my God, they gave you your contract. You went and knocked on the door with Derek Carr, and you were going through some bouncy house thing with him. You can't show up to OTAs for 4 hours a day for 3 days. That's all you have to do. It's fine.
The best example of that is when the Dolphins made Ndamukong Suh the highest paid player, and part of the press conference as they're announcing him is, this guy is going to be the leader for our team. He's a guy we want, this kind of player who's going to come in and show everyone on the team how to be professional and how to conduct yourself. And then he didn't show up
for
any OTAs.
Yeah.
All right, let's play this game then. I like that. Who is going to be not happier, Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, in a couple of years? Let's include number 7, the former best triplets in the NFL, Roethlisberger, Bell, Antonio Brown, win, play, show. Who's going to be, I don't know how we can assess another person's happiness, but, you know, success and how that impacts that and what's going to get sideways most likely. Let's try and figure that out as best we can. Handsome Hank, I start with you.
I'm going with Ben 1 because he's going to be retired.
Okay, let's say he plays 2 years.
He's going to be satisfied because I don't think he plays 2 years.
He's not going to be satisfied if they go 7-9. And he will be, along with Mike Tomlin, people will say, see, it was you two all along, to Money's point. That's exactly how it'll go. And Antonio Brown will not be quiet about pointing that
out. And then he'll say, in that case, I'd rather just not be here. I don't want to. He doesn't want any part of it.
All right, you're talking about some weird spiritual happiness. I'm in retirement now. Now it's cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about who's going to have. So who's
2 years from now? That's what
how's history
going to be doing.
All right, but how's history in 2022? How is history going to look back and say this guy got the best that wound up the best of this?
Okay, that's a different question. That's a different question.
Okay, I mean, I will listen.
I like your prior question, and my answer is they're all going to be miserable. They are all going to be miserable.
That's probably true.
Because Antonio Brown's going to be miserable playing in that dump of a stadium, and they're going to be the fourth place team in that division. He'll get some empty numbers, but Derek Carr is not the quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is, so he's going to be pissed. Le'Veon Bell's already upset, emojis notwithstanding. He's playing for a coach that seems like a giant a-hole when it comes to this guy's relationship and the fact you gave him $13 million a year and your coach is already dumping on you, so he's miserable. And the Steelers aren't going to be as good, and Ben's numbers aren't going to be as good. That's just reality, and he's going to be miserable because he's going to take some incoming. You're not so good, are you, Ben? Huh? It was all Antonio. You had the best receiver and the best running back in the league, and now life's not so great, is it?
I think Roethlisberger can rightly say, if he can get the double digits, which is no small thing, if he can get the double digit wins
that division,
right,
with the Browns and the Ravens now on the up, those two teams are on the upswing. Before, it was just kind of the Steelers. And there was
a
gap between the last 5 years.
The last five years.
You're going to take the Bengals' talent against the Steelers the last 5 years. Andy Dalton was their quarterback.
I'm not going to argue that, but let's quarterback aside, the Bengals.
There is no quarterback aside in this league.
4 or 5 years ago, the Bengals had the deepest roster in the NFL.
Dave.
There is no quarterback aside in the NFL.
I have seen you write tweets which say it's ridiculous that the Bengals consider themselves rivals of the Steelers in the last 4 or 5
years.
Should.
So that makes the point laughable.
That gap's no longer there.
Like, that gap is no longer there. Those teams have closed that gap, and life's going to be tougher for them. And they don't have the best receiver and the best running back in the league to help maintain that gap. So I think double digit, and they have a tough, by the way, they play the AFC West this year. Mm-hmm. Like, they got a gnarly schedule as well.
It's weird as well. If you're saying, what you're saying is that
I don't know what the answer is. I'm just trying to give you
this season's success on if he gets to 10 wins so that he can prove that it wasn't.
Yes.
Like, that's a weird thing for a quarterback to go into a season and be like, I've got to get to 10 wins so I can prove that it was me, not Antonio
and
Le'Veon.
I mean, obviously guys are motivated in pro sports by having a chip on their shoulder, and Roethlisberger has a sizable one with good reason at this point. And I do think that, I mean, I don't know how his head operates, but I think that if you he's erased, I think anybody who says, yeah, but he's, you know, on a team with good defense, so he just has to take care of the ball a little bit. The last decade, if nothing else, has proven that he can put up humongous numbers.
Sure.
I mean, he's put up some.
Sure.
He has some historically grand numbers now. I mean, and by the way, I'm not talking about the 500 yard games or anything, which, you know, with
impressive in their own
number.
Yeah.
but sort of in the impressive on the same level as Dan Fouts and doing that on teams that weren't necessarily consistently good, and Drew Brees having 5,000 yard seasons on teams that didn't necessarily even go 500. But he did answer anybody who says he doesn't match up in terms statistically with some of the all-time greats. He's now the sixth all-time leading passer, I mean, in NFL history right now. He's not done yet.
Oh, he's going to the Hall of Fame. There's no question.
I'm not arguing that
point. His legacy is fine.
I'm saying that I think the difference with Tom Brady, for all this stuff about, hey, all that matters is W's, and every quarterback who has any sense says that sort of stuff when there's a microphone in front of them. Hey, I'm all about winning games. I don't care how we get it done. The fact of the matter is that what separates Brady from all the other great QBs right now is that he actually doesn't care how they win. He really, if it's like, oh, I only threw the ball two times today. Yeah, we won the, I don't care. Yeah, Sonny Michelle, we gave it to him 42 times and he went for 250 and we won the game. I don't care. I think every other quarterback's ego leads them down the path of like, yeah, I don't care how we win, but the best way for us to win, I mean, it's the best chance is for me to throw it. Right. I mean, what else is a better option than me slinging it? I think Brady gets that. Maybe Roethlisberger, in his mimicry on some level of Tom Brady, saying, I apologize to Antonio Brown. He's what made me him get in front of the microphone. Maybe it's a little phony, but it does create the perception that he's being the bigger guy here. Maybe he's turned a corner now. Maybe he really will just ride his running backs and let the defense win games and throw the ball 25 times a game.
Because he said sorry, then he's also.
I'm saying that if he gets to who's the most likely to be on a winner? How about that? Which of those three teams has the best chance of being a winner?
Come on,
this year?
That's an easy answer.
Okay, well that's going to impact happiness. Who's at the end of the year? Who's going to be perceived by the media as the winner of those three? Is the team who's on the best team?
I hold none. I think all three of them lose.
They're all going to be 8-8 or worse.
Yes, I think they'll all. I do believe all of them will.
I don't think the Jets. I think this thing with Gase has gotten so weird that now I don't know what to anticipate there in New York. Prior to all that, though, I actually liked what they had going. I think that they were mad. I don't know about the offensive line. That's the big question mark.
The secondary is a question mark as well.
I like what they have overall, though. There's no team that's complete, you know, in the age of free agency.
Would you take the Bills or the Jets?
They neck and neck.
I take the Bills.
I like both of those teams ahead of the Jets right now.
I take the Bills ahead of the Jets, and I think when now you're talking about in a division where you're slotted third, okay, what are you? You know, that's kind of where do I think the Steelers are the third best team in their division? Hell no, I don't think that at all. But I think that based on their schedule and the fact that their division has gotten tougher, that they are probably closer to what they were last year. You know, and kind of fighting for that playoff spot, you know, in that last 2 weeks of the season, then they are, yeah, I feel like they're going to win their division and punch their ticket, you know, which is every year for the last how many years have we gone into a season where like, well, yeah, the Steelers will win their division and they'll be in the playoffs.
I just think that offense has to be some sort of Big Eight kind of juggernaut offense in Baltimore for that team to be competitive this year.
I agree with you. I'm not willing to. They lost a lot on that defense.
I know. I'm saying the defense is definitely going to fall back no matter what anybody says. And so Lamar Jackson, year two, he better take off. I think Sam Darnold is the X factor in New York this year. I think he elevates. Let's remember, 13 months ago, every scout said Sam Darnold's the most talented kid in that draft. If he does, in fact, meet anywhere close to those expectations, I think he's going to – I think the Jets can only be so bad. I just don't know what Adam Gase is. Did he screw this whole thing up now?
Doing a little exercise here because we all know a lot of it comes down to what happens the first 5-6 weeks of the season. You know, and if you're 1-4 or 0-5, obviously, with those two personalities in – Bell and Brown.
Suddenly the Twitter fingers get going.
The Jets first five. Buffalo, Cleveland home. At New England, at Philly, Dallas home. You know what? I'll add the sixth one in there because it's New England. So that's their first six.
That's tough.
I'm now going to give you the Pittsburgh.
And by the way, let me just circle that. That's the best early season game. Right. You know, obviously what teams' records are come Thanksgiving and otherwise. But right now that second week game of the Jets and Browns is marvelous. That's the one game.
Sure.
In the first 2 weeks, if you said
that's
you can only watch one.
That's a primetime game, right?
That's probably the one I would definitely want to see.
Pittsburgh at New England. You already mentioned that. Then they host Seattle.
Oh, it's so rugged what the Steelers have coming up.
Go to San Francisco. And then home to Cincinnati, Baltimore, and then at Chargers in a primetime Sunday nighter. That's their first.
What a misery. I'm going to be there, and I hope I'll be the guest of
in the booth.
Smith and Daniel Jeremiah.
Is that right?
I think that's...
No, I'm not professionally. I just hope that they'll say, like, yeah.
Let's go together.
To me, that's...
We'll talk to you down on the field an hour before the game, and I'll glad hand with muckety-muck. That's what I like to do.
Let's go together. See if they'll both invite us.
You'll bring your boy?
For sure.
I'm definitely bringing Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No question.
Definitely coming
to me.
Let's
do it.
It's going to be his first Steelers game.
There you go.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Let's do it. It's a date.
As long as he behaves himself.
Why do you gotta do that to your son? Don't do that to your kid.
Do what?
Make him a Steeler fan.
Don't.
He's born and raised in L.A.
Don't start.
You were born and raised in Pittsburgh. It made sense for you to be a Steeler fan, and your old man passed that on to you. Your son's in L.A. He's got a stadium right down the street from his house. He's got two football teams he can cheer for.
Money has to. He's paid to
no
chill for the Chargers.
I did that for my kids. All my daughters are Dodger fans and Laker fans because we can go to the games. They're King fans. They're not Blackhawks fans.
Let
that kid be a.
Just exactly.
Turn him on to the Chargers.
I didn't realize. I thought you lived in Los Angeles. Apparently, you have a summer home on Mount Pius. But I'll tell you this much: This is as righteous a deed as I can pass along to my boys to give him, to allow him to say you were born in to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3,000, 4,000 miles away, and yet because of your bloodlines. You get to root for the best team in pro sports.
And it makes no sense.
What do you mean makes no sense?
Whatsoever. My dad grew up in Pittsburgh, and somehow I now have to cheer for the team that
he cheered
for.
We live in America, right?
We do.
Oh, well then, right. And freedom.
You let him be free. Hey,
you like
son,
your freedoms?
I'm going to take you to this game. I'm not going to put a Steeler jersey on you. You're going to wear a, you know what, because we're such a fancy family, that Vineyard Vines polo of yours. That's what you're going to wear to the game.
You decide
which team you want to cheer for when we walk out of here.
An un-ironed denim shirt. One or the other.
It's hysterical. You know what? You know who else wore flannel shirts? The great men who toiled in those steel mills back in the mid-century, building the steel that went into the battleships and the tanks and the artillery that defeated the Nazi scourge.
Sure.
What happens to you?
Why don't
you pay a price when you do that?
Don't put a Steelers jersey and cap on him. You wear yours. You let him wear whatever he wants. Let him watch that game. Come to his own decision. Young man, here's the home team. Here's your old man's team. You decide. You decide if you want to go with Phil Rivers and Melvin Gordon and Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and Derwin James.
And that's what
you should do.
The very first Chargers game in L.A., Miami Dolphins, hosted by the L.A. Chargers, I turned up and I said, you choose. You choose.
Don't you dare.
You choose.
Don't you dare.
And he said, don't worry, I'm a Dolphins fan through and through. This is, the outcome, if you've trained your son properly, which I know you have,
right.
He'll go in with no question.
You could
offer him the choice and he would say, what are you talking about, Dad? I'm a Steelers fan.
Of course. Your
fear that things might go differently is what's worrying me more than what saying.
You should be embracing this
as an opportunity.
I'm attacking Matt Money Smith, resident of Mount Pius, for talking about what his choice should be. He's welcome to root for any football.
That's not true.
Wants. Yeah, he is.
He came out the womb.
He can't do it in my home.
He had a Steelers onesie on.
He had a terrible towel.
You wiped his bum with a terrible towel. He had no choice.
I
he was
desecrate.
Indoctrinated into this.
I wouldn't desecrate a terrible towel with the human
issue. Back to my point of who's going to be the most miserable.
I'm not done yet. Now
you're upset. No. It doesn't make sense to
me. I want
to
make it clear because I don't want anyone to think out there that I'm dictating who you have to root for. I have told all my children, you don't have to root for the Penguins. You don't have to root for the Pirates, certainly. You know, you want to fit in with your local pals. That's fine with me. With the Steelers, you don't have to even root for the Steelers. You can go Rams or Chargers. You just won't be watching football in my home. That's all. You can go watch the games wherever you want.
If you lived in Pittsburgh.
Just not in my home.
If you lived in Pittsburgh,
that's fair.
How many Penguins games would you have taken that young man to by now?
Oh, yeah, 40, 50.
And how many Kings games has he been to?
It's been the we've gone out and seen
that aren't against the Penguins.
Oh, well, zero.
Exactly. You're depriving the young man of the greatest in-game sporting experience in America because the freaking Penguins play 3,000 miles away.
No, he wears number 87 on his back when he plays hockey now. I think that's a great tribute.
Instead, he could have seen two Stanley Cup champions, a team that is operating at an extremely high level 20 times a year, mm-hmm. and enjoyed it. But no, because somehow he's got to remain loyal to it. Dodger Stadium is
we were just
one of
there.
The exactly. Oh, who are they playing?
They were playing the Battling Buckos, where pop star Joe hit 10 balls out of the Dodger Stadium.
It's 5 miles from your house. Dude, the kid could go to Dodger Stadium 20 times
a
year.
Dude, pop star Joe is the only dude to ever hit the ball out of Chavez Ravine, and he done it twice.
See the error of your ways. Let the young man embrace professional sports in the city where he's born and raised.
I think these guys are rude. Do you agree, Spaghetti?
I'm actually with you, Dave.
Thank you. Because
I'm a New Yorker where the best fans are, so I have to always root for
then
my
move
teams.
Back there. Get out of here. We're the best fans.
It's an extra excitement. Like when the Yankees come to town at Dodger Stadium end of August, I get to put on like my Judge jersey and go there and root for like the good guys. It feels great. It's a great feeling. Yes.
That's loco. Me and the old man.
That, by the way, is one of Bart. That's one of my favorite things. Now that I've been here for 20, how long have I been here? 29 years. Jeez. I have lived here. 28 years. When I go to Dodger games and I see these old ass freaking mailbox head idiots there to root for the Yankees, and it's like, oh, you know, you're out for the game. I love this. No, I lived here. I live here. Oh, yeah. How long you lived here? I lived here 51 years. Oh, 51 years you've lived here, huh? You never had New York fans are the best fans. I've been here. You never had the itch to go back to New York. It's so terrible here, and you've been miserable these 51 years, yet somehow, that's right, Yankees through and through. Get out of here. 51 years, and you lived in, this guy I talked to lived in, so were you born? I was born there. Oh, yeah? When did your family move? When I was three. You moved to L.A. when you were three. You're now 55 years old, and you're still cheering for the. It's asinine.
Some people,
it is stupid.
Like in most things, people like to separate themselves from the pack and feel special, and so that's part of what happens with some of those people. In my particular case, I can't help it that show business chose me. You know, they said we need you.
But they didn't choose your son. I'm fine with you. You want to keep it going and do your thing, fine. But they didn't choose your son. Your son was just born here.
He was
born in a city.
You know what?
That
his heart takes him to the Chargers on that
two-time Stanley Cup champ hockey team. Between the Celtics and the Lakers, they kick it back and forth who the winningest basketball team is in NBA history. They have a team that's been to back-to-back World Series and won their division 6 years in a row in the Dodgers, and you're taking them to see the Buccos. You take them to Dodger Stadium to see the best pitcher of their generation.
I've never seen Dave so upset.
You know what?
The best pitcher of
an apology, keep on waiting.
Of his generation is out there throwing. The southpaw. And you know, do you ever take him to see Clayton Kershaw? Well, see how it lines up when the Buccos are in town. If Kershaw's pitching, then maybe the young man can get out there and see the best pitcher of his youth right here in my backyard. Hey. 20 times a year you could go see him pitch.
Dude, I took him to see Trevor Williams.
Trevor Bauer.
And Josh Bell, dude. The dude's raking right now.
Jeez.
All right.
All right. You ready for the
Raiders
schedule?
What you should do, when that Chargers game happens, as a Chargers employee, you need to pull out all the stops and give him the best experience
you could possibly have. You better believe
he's
I will.
He's in the huddle with Philip Rivers.
It is over.
Philip Rivers is going to charm
Philip Rivers is like, you can play today.
Oh, I don't need that. That kid, he's not going on the field in a huddle. What's he getting? He's going to get like a nice Charger Stadium Lego set.
For sure.
He's going to get some Fortnite skin. Codes with the Charger uniform.
Yes.
Oh, it's over. I know how to butter that bread.
All of my energy, all of my powers will fall aside if Phil Rivers looks at that boy and does like he did in that super close up on Sunday Night Football. It's like, hey, let's go now.
Oh yeah. Okay. If that's what it is. All right.
If that's what it takes. I think you can make.
All right.
It
go ahead.
Real
let's
quick.
Figure this out.
Ready for the Raiders openers?
Yes.
Denver. Kansas City.
Okay.
At Minnesota. At Indianapolis, Chicago, at Green Bay, at Houston.
Oh, my goodness.
None of these teams are going to have a win.
There's their start. What kind of state is Antonio Brown going to be in?
Well, and by the way, yeah, Denver is not a great team. But, you know, if they do, in fact, keep Chris Harris, they figure that one out. That's a tough matchup right out of the gate for them.
That defensive line against... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we signed Trent Brown to that giant contract. We're gonna keep Colton at left tackle, though. That's his natural position. Okay, here comes Von Miller. Here comes old Von Miller. Yeah. I predict Colton lasts all of one quarter at left tackle. That experience will come to
I know when end. They had Marshawn Lynch, and who knows, maybe he'll wind up back with the team before things get going here. But you go Antonio Brown, and they're on their way to Vegas and Mark Davis and all that and the transition out of the East Bay and all that. If they wind up as the Hard Knocks team, just imagine.
They have
Vontaze.
They have to be the Hard Knocks team.
Come on, NFL.
Is it going to be Detroit? Heck no. I mean, the only one that makes sense beyond that is the Giants. If
the Giants would be fascinating, but except
it'll be boring.
QBs are boring.
Yeah,
but it just would be fun to kind of see. And Saquon's a lovely guy, but probably not that exciting.
But with no more Beckham, no chance there. It's got to be the Raiders.
Unless I don't know if the Raiders do they have handsome. You would know best. Do they have some ability to be like absolutely not NFL? Do not do that because we refuse.
I don't know.
I don't think they do. I mean, they got a loan from the league to build their stadium. They're relocated. Like, to me, they have zero leverage whatsoever.
I know there are a couple other teams in consideration.
What do you mean? Beyond the ones that we've seen?
Yeah. The other ones that you just
don't say Arizona because of the quarterback.
We already know they're D.C. We know D.C. is under consideration.
Mm-hmm.
DC. You saw the list. Detroit, New York, and Oakland were the final
four. Oh, Arizona's not in there anymore?
No, the final four were those four teams about a week or two ago, right, Spaghetti?
Yeah, it was a CBS report. Yeah, we went over it.
Okay. So that's what CBS is reporting.
Oh, but
Jason Lockenfour he's always right. So he would
now,
know
wait
better.
Now, wait a second. Are you trying to tell us?
You get his name off your lips.
Sorry. I don't want to get in trouble.
I know this
with
to be
Big
true.
Jason.
I like to go to Matt Money Smith and Jason Lockenfour with all my punk, you know, all my hardcore questions.
Lockenfour, a big fan of the
big
DC punk. Hardcore.
Also big Premier League or Leeds, who aren't in the Premier League, but big soccer fan.
All right. Now listen, you think that there's another
team I'm certainly not at liberty to discuss it.
Well, we're discussing it. What do you mean? You brought it up. What are you talking about?
What are the rules? No playoffs for the last 5 years? Or is it
those are one? No, no, no. But teams can still volunteer.
Oh, teams can volunteer.
Teams can volunteer.
Okay, that changes the Steelers everything. Wouldn't volunteer.
We'll be encouraged to volunteer.
Ooh, interesting.
The Steelers wouldn't do that,
would
they?
I have no idea.
What do you mean you don't die by? You say one thing and then you act like you don't know nothing.
I don't know if the Steelers would volunteer. How am I supposed to know? Listen, don't worry about it.
Okay, give me your choice. Who at the end in, you know?
I think the Raiders. I think the Raiders would be terrific.
No, no, no. Back to the original one. Who is going to look the best when
which
the season
team will
is complete?
Have the most wins? That's what you're really asking.
Kind of.
Right?
No, who's going to be? You know, who's going to have a good year and whose team is going to be good?
I think three players will have good year. I think Antonio Brown, Money said earlier, he's going to have some empty numbers, and the team's going to be 5-11. I think Le'Veon Bell's going to have, you know, 1,000 yards rushing and 700 yards receiving, and the team's going to be about 5-11. And I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to have his usual 4,200 yards passing.
You do. You don't think his numbers get impacted.
I think his numbers don't get impacted because they've lost Le'Veon Bell, and I'm not I'm a huge Benny Snell fan, and I want to, and obviously James Conner I like as well, but I think that he's going to have to throw the ball around.
Here's the puncher's chance that Ben Roethlisberger has, even though it doesn't make sense on face, Matt Money Smith. You lose Antonio Brown, one of the three best pass catchers, one of the three best wide receivers of the Super Bowl era. How could you possibly meet those same numbers without that when you remove that from the equation? Here's how. I really believe for the all this talk, the reputation, AB, such a precise route runner. In the last season or two, if you go back and you watch him and you talk to people in the building about it, he got very loose with his route running. And in fact, started to rely upon his relationship with Ben Roethlisberger, that he could break routes off on a whim, and Roethlisberger knew how to hold on to the ball and could find AB. And you'll notice that a disproportionate, obviously a disproportionate number of targets are going to AB, but also a disproportionate number of the picks that Roethlisberger was throwing are owed to, like, what was he doing there? What was Roethlisberger? What was that ball there? He really missed AB there. He's trying to read where AB's going as he breaks routes off and he goes too shallow. Maybe the moment when Roethlisberger, AB, the Denver play that ended that one, that he ran the route too shallow, or he didn't run it shallow enough, wasn't a great example there. But if you go back and look at a pick he throws earlier in that game, AB runs a super oddball route, and Roethlisberger expects him to be somewhere that he isn't, and Roethlisberger can't eat the ball as it's coming out of his hands. It gets picked, and it kind of flips the game a little bit there. I think that's going to go away. I think I legitimately think the reputation that AB is such a it's all based on precision wasn't true in the last year or two. He was spectacular, but he wasn't as consistent a route runner, no matter what people say.
And we already know that there's a problem with Derek Carr there as well, because we know when David Carr was covering AB at the kid's birthday party, he almost got a pick off Derek Carr when AB ran the route wrong.
Well, Carr didn't hold on to the ball either. He has zero interest in getting hit. And when that pocket
starts
breaking down,
he's had his back broken.
Yes. So that'll be interesting. Those longer developing routes with Tyrell Williams, who's really just a go that way real fast and I'm going to throw it up and you go get it kind of receiver, and Antonio Brown had corrections and retractions on me. 10 wins looking at it. I thought they played AFC West. That's just the Chargers they play with their second place. They do AFC East, which
but they do have it does feel like a rugged schedule. I mean, for me, but
it's
9-7
for Pittsburgh.
You get the Jets and the Bills and the Cardinals and the Dolphins. I don't know the Dolphins. I don't know how good the Niners are.
The Niners are going to win that division.
Man, that's...
Well, you'll see. You don't have to believe me now. You'll believe me come Christmas, though.
For as good as Jimmy Garoppolo looked, remember, that dude was throwing a lot of picks. A lot of picks.
I like that defense a great deal now. I like what they've done address skill position deficiency there. And
they already got two running backs.
Is Kyle Shanahan not the real deal?
He's great.
If you don't think he is, this is year three.
That's saying they're going to overcome that Rams offense. And I know they lost some pieces, but they brought a lot back. I mean, they still have Aaron Donald in the middle of that line to wreck everybody.
All right, we'll see. We've talked about ad nauseum at this point. I don't think Todd Gurley is ever going to be Todd Gurley again. And
I think
so,
you might be right about that.
Mm-hmm. So Daryl Henderson better be a good guy to slide in there. So the final answer for me is, and it's pretty easy to address, who wins all this, the offseason, the
wins?
AB, Levy, and Bell, Ben Roethlisberger? Whoever wins the most and then doesn't have a...
Well, you got to pick one. That's the obvious answer.
That's the question.
You can't just say the answer to the question.
I'm not confused by it at all. You said who's going to be most...
You said what's the measure? And then you addressed spiritual satisfaction.
Yeah, that was an hour ago. Then you said it's going to be the team that wins the most. We just offered an opinion on who will win the most, and you've just said the answer is who wins the most.
You have to pick one.
Which was the question. Pick one.
I think Ben Roethlisberger wins this deal.
How many does he win?
I think he gets two. Well, I can't.
Can't do it yet.
I can't willy-nilly be throwing numbers around like
that. It's Troy Aikman and Fox is calling the Super Bowl. Guys, I can't give you a
prediction.
I'm on the call.
Not Memorial Day. People call me up on Labor Day. What's the number going to be?
Hold on. What's that?
Either.
I'm sorry. What's that?
Can't say in Labor Day.
Oh, really?
Don't do it until the day.
Hold on, guys. I'm getting something here. Hold on. Yeah. Oh, they said the streak is over. You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want, exactly.
All right.
You've been correct for precisely zero years.
You know
in
what?
A row.
Now that I don't feel that pressure anymore, I can tell you, I'll just put it in pencil right now.
Okay. That's
I have
a pen
here,
that's
so I can't
pen.
Do it here. I'll lick my finger and write it. Right.
Put it in the ether.
I think the Steelers get to 10.
Okay.
I think 10.
And then I would say Ben wins. I think Ben is your winner.
That's right.
That's because guess what? Jets and the Raiders ain't getting it.
I thought the Jets. No, I'll say it one last time. I thought the Jets had a chance.
That's
interesting.
Do the Jets and
between
and
the Raiders and the Jets,
get to 10?
And if that happens, I think then the Steelers as an organization say, I hope you were paying attention, players of pro football. Don't mess with us ever again. Right?
And it's what the Patriots have done.
Yep.
How'd that go, Deion Branch? Yeah, fun out there? Okay, now you can come back.
You can come back.
Jamie Collins, how was that there in Cleveland? Okay, come on back. Yep. We'll be happy.
We've got a,
Hey, Danny, how was that? Okay. All right.
You we have a lot of there. Things. Dang, money's got to go. We all have to go. Money very quickly.
Yes.
Was it crazy? I'm sure you didn't see much of it. Did you think David Carr was crazy for saying that Joe Montana was
Who am I to question a former number one overall pick at the quarterback position?
You thought that was crazy.
I kind of understand what he's getting at, but
I get his logic
there's
too.
Way too many huge plays in huge moments to say, wow.
That to me is what distinguishes Joe Montana.
Yes.
Is the January.
When you had to make a play, that guy made the play, and so many other quarterbacks have not.
That's where I come down. But I do buy that Bill Walsh conceived of a knuckler that the NFL didn't know how to respond to for a very long time. For literally 4 or 5 years, the NFL was like, what are we supposed to do? And then they add Jerry Rice and they add difference makers in that offense that then mitigate the defensive coordinators, the NFL figuring out kind of how to spell what 16 and company were doing.
But what I don't buy is I think you said either on air or in a tweet, like, imagine if Marino was in that offense. I don't think Dan Marino would have wanted to live in that offense.
I love your point about that you made with David Carr when we were having this conversation a week or two ago. I thought that was a great point. That Bill Walsh, if he had Dan Marino, would say, well, we can't limit him to this.
To this, right.
Right. It really comes down to, are you, it's cool, it's football hip to be like, offense is what, do you like the sport being run by coaches, or do you like when the players are the difference makers? I'll go with the latter there. If you swoon, I get it, if you're a Patriots guy, a Niners guy, you'd say Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick, that's what you're into? You're into coaches? It's a weird thing,
right? The problem is you're trying to rewrite circumstance, right? We don't know what Joe Montana would have been in another offense. We don't know what you don't know. I mean, Joe Montana did what was asked of him, and he did it better than anybody else. Like that's what was asked of Tom Brady. Do this, okay? And I'm going to do it better than anyone has ever done it in the history of the NFL. It's all I've been asked to do. We don't know. We don't know if Joe Montana was put somewhere else, if he would have been just as successful, because he was so damn accurate and just completely oblivious to the bullets that were flying around him and could just stand there like it was no big deal and throw dimes to win games. I mean, who knows? He might have been just as great.
He's my number two. I get it.
That's what they're pushing is, well, system and great coach and great players around. Okay, well, he can't control that. All he can do is take the snap and throw the ball. How good was he at that?
And then, ESPN guys, scout guys, and so on are jumping in on this and getting very upset with David Carr. Everybody's a system quarterback, in response to David Carr. Not really. I mean, that's fine, but the reason Elway was winning games wasn't Dan Reeves. It was John Elway making special plays that only John Elway and two or three other human beings could possibly make.
But I guess, speaking to your point about Dan Marino, I mean, why wouldn't that be the system they put him in? It was a system that carved opponents up. Hey, Dan, I know you got a strong arm and you can throw better than anybody in the history of this game, but guess what? You're going to complete a lot of passes. We're going to win a lot of games because we've got the advantage here. I assume they would have him do the exact same thing.
I'm certainly not.
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
I think my point was more just that I'm not sure he'd have been as happy doing that as he was basically in Miami, where he got to do what he wanted.
The thing that is the most interesting aspect of that whole conversation, and I thought it did turn out to be a pretty interesting one, is that Mooch and David Carr, and I'm off the top of my head, I can't think of the other guys, but of the guys we talked to, everybody said, oh yeah, Steve Young was better than Joe Montana. Joe Montana just happened to fall into that system at a time when NFL defenses didn't know how to respond to it. I go with you, Money. Yeah, Joe Montana did it in fourth quarters. He threw a touchdown pass against the mighty Dallas Cowboys with the season on the line to start that dynasty.
That whole thing off.
What'd Steve Young do? I mean, he choked and choked and choked, and then he threw the touchdown pass to Terrell Owens and then throws six touchdowns in the Super Bowl. But it doesn't erase the fact that he came up lame against good Cowboys teams where Joe Montana vanquished high-end teams. Right.
Poor sweet David Carr. I don't think he knew what was coming for him when he said that.
No. You were there. I told him what was going to happen.
I know you did. That's true.
But when he
sat down with a smile before we started that show, and you said, so you're really going
to
go with this? He was like, yeah, sure.
All right. I did. I can sleep at night because I said to him, I don't want you to keep doing this because you're going to get heat.
You know what
they're going to say? And he said exactly what people said to him about, who's David Carr to tell me? Well, who, Joe Montana? He couldn't carry it. Well, all that kind of stuff. Anyhow, Matt Money Smith, good luck with, I don't know if you want to go on a fast or the keto diet or whatever.
I am much like Eddie the next 2 weeks because I'm hopping a bird to the Europe there for weeks. I am, yes.
For pleasure?
Yeah, like I said, the oldest is getting out the house, so taking one last big blowout vacation with the family. We're flying into Rome, going to do Italy for a few days, then hop a cruise that'll take us through. Going to Game of Thrones land, we'll be going to Dubrovnik and Montenegro, and then down in through Greece for about 5-6 days, hitting a couple islands, and then back up the backside there to Sicily and the Amalfi Coast and back into
the. Good for you, Money. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
Have a great time, Matt Money Smith.
Appreciate it.
I know, Matt Money, if he's not careful with that Italian food, can you imagine?
I know, he could get up to 120 easily.
Oh, I'd love to see him come back and he has that.
Where's Dad? He's doing laps on the cruise ship. He's running laps on that eighth of a mile.
I definitely want the neck.
Yeah, it's,
see
it
if
was
he can
bad.
Work on that.
It was bad.
I like he has
I
to
feel like that
beer.
Was beer.
It
was
just
a lot of beer. It was drugs. It was terrible. I still remember the moment. When I recognized how fat I was, I came out. I was super drunk, and my roommate Damien said something to me. I was like, "Hey, let's the Jack in the Box commercial came on," and I was like, "Let's get over to Jack. Let's get one of them sourdough Jacks, man. Let's go right now." And he looks at me and he goes, 185. I said, and I looked at him and I go, "What do you got for 185?" You idiot, you weigh 185. You have got to stop this now. They know who you are at the McDonald's drive-thru. This is got, and they did.
That's powerful.
This has got to stop.
You don't want it. This is an important time. I don't want to be an enabler. I don't want to look back 5 years from now, and did you hear about Eddie Spaghetti? Yeah, his heart exploded.
Yes.
His heart literally exploded.
Friends kept coming to visit, and he kept taking them to Chick-fil-A at
1 a.m. The banquet scene just for too long.
185, I say now to you, Eddie Spaghetti, 263. Really?
There's no chance.
Oh, 263?
No, come on.
That's about what you got to weigh right now.
I don't.
Are you over 225?
No, not over. I'm right at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're the same height. You shouldn't be 225.
We're the same height.
What do you think?
Well done, Eddie. Well done.
Now he's making short jokes.
Well
all
done.
Right. Matt Money Smith, have a splendid
loved
trip
it.
If we don't see you. Have a great continental cruise. Handsome Hank, let's start making our plans. We'll go on a double date with our little boys.
Yeah, let's do it. That'd
to
be fun.
Carson, California.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see who wins out in the battle for the heart and mind.
Hey, I don't know if you guys heard, but Bryce Harper is coming to town next week. It's the Phillies and it's the Dodgers.
No,
that'd
they're,
be cool.
They're
that'd be kind of cool.
Two teams that are in first place.
Yeah.
Two of the biggest stars, Cody Bellinger, he's hitting over 400. Again, Clayton Kershaw, best pitcher of his generation. Mm. And then on the other side, you got probably the young men's favorite player in all of baseball, Bryce Harper, coming to town. It's probably still tickets if you guys just want to take your sons that love baseball out to a game to see Bryce Harper and Cody Bellinger on the field at the same time. It's
got to save you up just, for you just the get Pens the, next yeah. visit next fall yeah. or winter time.
I imagine you could probably get into the ballpark for $15 a ticket. I mean, I think that's probably possible. So, Maybe just kick that one around. I can even give you the date.
He's still looking. He's looking uncomfortable. Yes.
Helicopter parenting. He's parenting from up on Mount Pius. I'll take care of business in my own home. Matt Money Smith. All the best to you.
Who are all these guys, Dad?
Those are the Buckos, son. And let me tell you about Willie Stargell and Dave Parker and Bill Matlock. Oh, and Kent Tekulve.
I mean, guys who are still alive. Are any good ones still alive? No, boy.
But, boy, when I was your age, my old man would take me to the ballpark.
who's this Cody Bellinger guy?
Don't you worry about Cody Bellinger.
He's a jerk. Corey That's who Singer? He is.
Who's Max Muncy? It's a terrible story. He was out of baseball for 2 years and toiling in the minors, and now he led the team in home runs and hit a game ender in the 18th inning. But you don't care about that young man.
He's allowed to root for the Dodgers if he wants. In fact, he could root for the Chargers. Again, he's just not going to watch football in my house if he does that. All right. So we'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you later on. In the meantime, make sure you check out the new episode of Daves of Thunder. I'm not sure it's out just yet, depending on when you're listening. But the Daves of Thunder Detective Agency has taken its first case. We did go undercover just last night at the time of this recording. It was interesting, at least. So make sure you check that one out.
All right.
All right. All the best, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. It's been a Thin Slice of Heaven.